you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Are you ready now?
Yes. Say goodbye, Toto. Yes, I'm ready now.
Then close your eyes and tap your heels together three times. And think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Wake up, honey.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Don't you just wish that when those times come in your life, when you're in a place that you would rather not be, that all you had to do was just click your heels together and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home, over and over again. And then poof, you'd be out of the state or out of the place that you were in, that situation that you were in, maybe that you were feeling overwhelmed with, and you'd be somewhere else. I mean, how cool would it be to have that kind of special power just to click your heels and say that phrase, and you'd be transported out of the difficult situation, the defeating situation, and you'd find yourself safe and secure back in your own home or in that place where you feel safe and secure. Man, there are times in my life where I would be up for that. There's been times over the last few months, over the last week, that I would be like, you know, things that are happening around me are very important, but man, I'd like to just be able to breathe for a moment or take a break for a moment or escape for just a moment. We've got to keep the intensity up on things that are crucial and that matter so much that are happening all over our nation and our land. But there just are times where you'd like to click your heels, say a phrase, and be transported to a different place. I mean, sometimes what it is that you may want to escape, it may not be what's happening around you. It actually may be what's happening inside of you. And if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, for some reason, many people would rather click their heels together than actually admit to someone else that they get depressed at times, or maybe that they're depressed right now, that you are feeling depressed right now. Some of you that are watching in this moment have been battling some depression. And as we've been trying to make our way through this unique chapter and season in our life over the past few months, maybe that's what you've been battling. You've been dealing with some things that have just been happening on the inside, and it's just got you down. And if you're dealing with depression today, I am so glad that you are with us during these moments together, because I want to tell you something. God is not only with you, God is for you. And today I pray that we could take a next step and that the Lord Jesus would begin to give you hope and some handles on taking a next step forward. I invite you to do something. Would you turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 77? Psalm 77. Today, I'm going to actually be preaching out of the New International Version. Usually, I preach out of the English Standard Version, but I really was resonating with the way that the NIV, the New International Version, just articulated and said some of the different phrases that we're going to look at in Psalm 77 today. It'll be on the screen if you don't have that version. And as we consider some perspectives on dealing with depression this morning, I want you to know that so much of what I'm going to be sharing with you comes from a book called I Am With You Always by an incredible author named Chip Ingram. I'm With You Always. And this psalm that we're going to look at, I believe, can give you some hope and some next steps as maybe you've been dealing with some depression or just feeling down on the inside. Christians, sometimes they don't like to admit that they may be dealing with some depression or feeling depressed. Unfortunately, some people just think that there's a stigma that's attached to any kind of depression. And so what we tend to do is we delay dealing with whatever it is that is going on inside of us and oppressing us and getting us to feel down on the inside. And that tendency then can become more of a problem than if we just admit that sometimes we feel depressed. People seem to think that, man, if you're walking with God, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're making some progress in your life as a Christian, that you're never going to wander through a season where you have to deal with the blues or just feeling down on the inside. And for some reason, this stigma gets attached to a Christian who is depressed. And some even believe that depression is actually a sin. Now, is some depression caused by sin? Well, sure it is. Sin causes all kinds of things like guilt. Sometimes it does cause depression or lousy relationships can be a result of sin, just to name a few things there. But please hear me. Being depressed is not a sin. I mean, if you're just a normal person and you love God, there's still going to be some days, there may be weeks, there may be seasons in your life where you're wrestling with depression and feeling just bad on the inside. And there's going to be those times in our life where we wish, man, if I could just click my heels and say there's no place like home, I would love to be able to be not feeling that way in an instant. But if you feel that way, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're an ungodly person. What it means is that you are a human being. You're a real person. And friends, life just has a way sometimes of feeling like a wave is just crashing down on our life and just pounding on us. And sometimes we go through those seasons of life where we feel like the wave after wave after wave just keeps hammering us and throwing us around. And if we're honest, we come out of those seasons feeling a bit depressed. And sometimes it's not a bit depressed. Sometimes it's really, really bad and you feel really depressed. The fact is that life gets everybody down from time to time. And it's important to understand that God is not disappointed in you. He's not surprised at your depression when you are in that state. And if you are feeling that way today, or maybe you've got a friend or a family member who's dealing with depression or feeling depressed, I invite you to please talk to somebody who can help you. If you go, man, I don't even know who to talk with me. And you go, well, I can't get where you are right now. You got online. If you got online, then you and I can connect. Would you email me to start off? David@arapahoeroad.org is my email address. And if you'll email me and just say, hey, I need to talk or I need some help, man, I will reach back out to you and I will do whatever I can to help pastor you to a place where you can get some help to take some next steps to deal with whatever's got you down on the inside. Some different causes of depression may be psychological, some may be spiritual, some may be physical, some may be relational. What I do know is this, that during depression, most of those different causes tend to overlap, and it's because God didn't make you a segmented person. God made you a whole person, and so depression affects the whole being. It's not contained just to a psychological component. Your spirit, your soul, your body, your relationships, they all interrelate. And when depression touches one area of your life, it's going to affect the other areas of your life as well. So, I mean, what do you do? Since we're talking about it, what do you do? I mean, biblically, as a Christian who loves God or who's trying to love God with all of your heart, what do? When you get depressed, do you tend to deny it or maybe bury it or just fake it and put on a smile? Do you have an emotional collapse? Do you eat more or watch more TV or Netflix or go shopping or take a vacation that you can't afford? Or maybe you turn to alcohol or drugs or pornography or have an affair to try to numb that pain? And sometimes people may just need a little bit of help gaining perspective on their particular situation in life in this particular season. Sometimes the thing that may be causing your depression, it may be some physical stuff that's going on inside your body or something chemically that's happening in your brain or in your hormones. And it may be that your doctor could prescribe some medication that could begin to really make a difference in balancing out some of those unbalanced feelings that you have. Man, I encourage you to talk to someone. Talk to me. Talk to your doctor. Get some help. Don't just stay in the state that you are in. And for our remaining time that we have together, I do want us to walk through what I believe to be a classic psalm that deals with depression, Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, we have this song of comfort for the dark night of the soul. This psalm was written by a guy named Asaph. Now, Asaph was a worship leader, and he was one of King David's key men, kind of a key leader that ran with King David. He was a godly man, and his writings really give us a pattern to follow that can help us to regain our emotional and our spiritual equilibrium when life tends to really get us down. And so the first thing that we're going to see Asaph doing when he was depressed, and that we need to do if we're feeling depressed, is this right here. We need to cry out to God. Would you take an out loud note with me and just say this with me? Cry out to God. Cry out to God. Look at verses 1-3 in Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. These cries of distress from Asaph. Nevertheless, Asaph, he's crying out to God. This is an emotional SOS from Asaph to God. Hey, God, are you up there? Hey, God, I'm hurting down here. When I read this scripture, it reminds me of something that Jesus said to all of those who were listening to him preach that day that he preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." I love how Dave Busby defined that word mourn. He said, to mourn is actually to get needy out loud. Blessed are those who get needy out loud. Why? Because they'll be comforted. And so Asaph here, he was sleepless, he was confused, he was discouraged, and yet he was also honest. And he was honest out loud before the Lord. Friends, God is not put off by your expressions of honest, heartfelt emotion. In fact, look at what the scripture says over in Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are what? Crushed in spirit." That the waves just crush their spirit. Says the Lord is close to you today. He's close to you today. Back in Psalm 77, that picture that's happening there in verse 1, "I cried out. I cried out." Verse 2, "I stretched out untiring hands." Verse 3, "I groaned." See, there's something healthy, there's something therapeutic and powerful about simply verbalizing out loud to God what you're feeling like on the inside. But this psalm, it not only calls us to cry out to God, it also, this psalm is going to show us that Asaph, he didn't stop there. He did something else to battle and to deal with his depression. And we would be well served to do what he did. And that's recall past blessing. Would you take another out loud note with me and say this? Recall past blessings. Look at verses 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. "You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired." So as Asaph is just lying wide awake at night, he begins to let his mind drift. That's the way you feel sometimes, yes? When you're feeling depressed, often you can't sleep. Your mind tends to bounce and run from subject to subject, trying to make sense of life. And Asaph, in here, he's thinking, it didn't used to be this way. It didn't used to be this way. He writes there in verse 6, "I remembered my songs in the night." What he's remembering there is when God felt near to him, when he could sense God's presence. You see what it says? "My heart mused and my spirit inquired." His words are striking as familiar chords in the heart of those who've been through the wasteland of depression. Maybe you're there right now. And you too have said things like, "I don't get it, God. How is it that we used to be so close and now you feel so far away from me? I used to feel your joy in my heart. I remember when I used to be able to gather inside your church building and worship next to people, and now I feel alone and I feel disconnected from them and from you. Where are you? Doesn't feel like you're anywhere to be found." Can you relate to that? Do you feel like that sometimes? Do you feel like that this morning? Friends, taking time to recall God's specific blessings in our past, it provides perspective. It begins to bring some peace in our present. And maybe what you and I need to do today is just to take a little bit of time and to revisit what has gone on in the former days between you and God. I love, as we keep moving forward, the honesty of Asaph's next move. Not only does he cry out to God, Not only does he recall past blessings, but in verses 7 through 9, he begins to do something. He begins to ask God the hard questions. Look at verses 7 through 9 with me. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Man, Asaph just gets gut level honest. He gets gut level honest with God. He asks God some hard questions. Are you just going to reject me forever, God? That's how I feel. You know, that's what I'm feeling down here, like you're nowhere around. I feel like I'm being rejected and cast off. I feel like your love, your mercy is just dried up and blown away like sand in the desert. See, depression, it challenges our faith and it raises questions in our heart. And when you get to feeling down on the inside, you need to see not only that God's big enough to ask those questions, but realize something. God's inviting you to come near to Him and just be honest and ask Him anything you want. Ask those sincerely hard questions. He is big enough to handle it. And as we question God, and as we begin to think about our situation, we need to do what we see Asaph continuing to do in this process and begin to choose to redirect our thoughts. Would you say that one out loud with me? Choose to redirect our thoughts. We've got to choose to redirect our thoughts. Look at verses 10 and 12. 10 through 12, he's going to do that. He's choosing to redirect his thoughts. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all of your mighty deeds. Asaph is showing us something. Asaph is showing us that we need to be proactive in our thought life. When we're feeling depressed, we need to be proactive in our thought life. Dealing with depression on any level requires an act of the will. That means you may need to get out of your recliner and turn off the news and actually think about something else for 5 minutes. If all you're doing is sitting there feeling bad and bad and bad about all the news, then choose to redirect your thoughts for a minute. Yes, we need to stay informed, but there comes a time when we need to choose to redirect our thoughts and go, I'm not going to watch that for a little while. I'm going to get away from that and I'm going to redirect my thought. You may not be able to control your feelings, but you can choose to not give in to them entirely. And Asaph basically is saying, no way am I just going to sit and wallow in my state of gloom. And he begins to remember the things that God has done in his past. And he begins to draw strength from meditating on the mercies of God, the miracles that God has done in history, and prayers that have been answered in his own life. I'll tell you, the main event that comes to the forefront of Asaph's mind, and really all Jewish people's mind, if they let their mind go all the way back, it goes all the way back to their ancestors and what God did at the Exodus and how God delivered an oppressed and a depressed people out of Egypt, and he led them through a Red Sea that was about to come crashing down on them, but God made a way and he walked them through the Red Sea and he eventually walked them all the way to the front door and into the promised land of Cana. So don't just sit there doing nothing, staying where you are in your mind, letting depression just envelop you like a fog. Choose to redirect your thoughts. And friend, when Asaph begins to redirect his thoughts, he begins to get a new perspective on life. He begins to think differently. He begins to figure something out. And here's what he figures out. We got to magnify God to diminish your problems. Would you say that out loud with me? Magnify God to diminish your problems. See, when your problems loom large, and God seems very, very distant, then your hope of successfully dealing with that overwhelming problem begins to dim in your life. And before you can have hope, you've got to remember something. You've got to rediscover something, that God is a big God. And He is huge compared to the problems that you have in your life. Not saying your problems aren't real, not saying your problems don't have difficulty and pain attached to them. I'm not going to diminish that in the slightest, but what I'm asking you to do, what Asaph is asking you to do, inviting you to do, is to put your problem next to the bigness of God, and suddenly you see something different. Your problem is not nearly as big as your God. Let me show you verses 13 through 18. Look what it says. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed, and the clouds poured down water, and the skies resounded with thunder, and your arrows flashed back and forth, and your thunder was heard in the whirlwind, and your lightning lit up the world, and the earth trembled, and it quaked. You know why? Because God's big. And He's powerful. In Asaph, right here, he begins to magnify God to diminish his problems. I love digging into the original language. Asaph calls on God in the Hebrew language by a Hebrew name in the original text. He calls God El Elyon, E-L-E-L-Y-O-N, El Elyon. El Elyon means God, the Most High God, or the mountainous God, a huge God, a ginormous God. El Elyon, it's a name. It's a name that refers to God as the creator, as the protector of the universe. It means God the Most High. That's who our God is. He is El Elyon, a name referring to the creator God, not just a God, but the God. And what Asaph is doing here is he is beginning to change his gaze from a microscope to a telescope. He's changing his gaze from a microscope to a telescope. See, Asaph has been looking at all of his problems through the lens of a microscope. And what a microscope does, it makes things that are really, really small look really, really big. And he's beginning to magnify God. He's beginning to change the lens. And he's beginning to look at God through a telescope. Because what a telescope does is it makes things that are really, really big look as big as they really are. And he's moving his perspective from a microscope to a telescope. And telescopic God is a huge, big God that you and I need to get into our viewfinder. God is calling us to do that, to quit looking at life and all of our problems under the scrutiny of a microscope and making things bigger than maybe they really are, and start looking at the bigness of our great God, El Elyon, the Most High God, the creator and the ruler of all, and the telescopic God who brings perspective to our microscopic problems when you compare them to how big God is. He's powerful. He's big. He looks at your problem and doesn't go, pfft. He looks at your problem and he looks at you with compassion. And then he reminds you, I'm bigger than that. You don't have to be afraid of that. I'm El Elyon. I'm the Most High God. And I'm going to walk you through whatever is under this lens. You just keep your eye on that lens. And you keep your eyes on the Most High God. And then as Asaph, he works his way through the psalm of expressing his depression. He gets to the very end. And when we get there, then we got to do this. You got to trust God to be your deliverer. Would you say that with me, just as a confession, as a declaration? Trust God to be your deliverer. And Asaph recalls how God delivered his ancestors out of Egypt as he writes in verses 19 and 20. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen, and you led your people like a flock by the hand of Aaron and Moses. The hand of Moses and Aaron. And friends, if you and I will be proactive, if we'll be proactive in the midst of what we're feeling, in the midst of depression, by crying out to God, by remembering who He is, remembering what it is that He has done in the past, by asking God those hard questions and choosing to redirect our thoughts on the truth and the reality of God's bigness instead of the perceived bigness of our problems, then God will be your deliverer, and He will begin to put people around you, if He hasn't already, to help you pass safely through those waters and out of those waters and out of that fog of depression. And what I want to do as we wrap our time up is pray for you. And just ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to encourage you. Ask the Lord to give you courage to reach out if you need to talk with someone, to talk with me, to talk with your doctor. And if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, before we pray in a moment, I want to invite you to ABC it, to admit that you're the sinner and Jesus is your Savior, and to believe that Jesus took care of all of your sin when He died on the cross, and to call on His name. The scripture says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Sin, death, Satan, and hell. Doesn't say it'll be able to just click your heels and there'll be no place like home and you'll be right back there again. But He says, if you call on me, I'll rescue you. I will save you. I will come and be with you and I will walk you through. And so if you'd like to do that, I want to pray that prayer. You can pray with me, and then I just want to continue to pray over you for a moment. So, Lord, there are some friends right now who I believe want to call on Your name. And Lord, they want to admit right now that they are a sinner, that you are the Savior. That right now they believe that you are their only hope. They believe in you. And they're calling out to you. Lord, as you hear people right now in their hearts and their minds calling out to you, would you rescue them and give them a fresh start? Would you give them courage to begin walking again, to begin trusting again? Lord, there are people that are hearing my voice as I'm praying over them who need fresh hope today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that the word that we've walked through from Psalm 77 will begin to give them hope and handles to pull forward and to reach out and to remember that you are with them, that they are not alone, and that you would put in them a joy, a peace, an encouragement, that you would cover them with mercy and you would begin to help them in their time of need. Lord, I pray that you'd give them courage to email me, that I might help them take a next step from wherever they are to where you're leading them to go. Lord, I pray for them today, and we'll continue to pray as you bring these friends to mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, seriously, if I can pray more specifically for you or help you, email me today at david@arapahoeroad.org. I would love the privilege to pastor you through wherever you are to where God wants to lead you. I invite you to be back with us on Facebook Live next Sunday at 10:45. It'll be Father's Day, and we'll look forward to a special day. Hint, hint, kids, wink, wink. Next week, Father's Day, just letting you know. Jack and Lucy, next week, Father's Day. I'm your dad. Remember, I'm not L.L. Young, but I'm the big dad in the house, so remember, next week, Father's Day. Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. I hope that you'll join us. Philip Burgess will continue to lead us in a teaching of prayer, and then we'll jump on to a Zoom meet and do some praying together. So I hope that you'll be there on Facebook Live. Just remember an update on June the 28th. If you'll circle that date, June the 28th is the date that our elders will be giving you an update as to next steps as we move forward and consider how we're going to move forward as a church in that right time to come back in person. We do know that there'll be at least two steps in that. In-person family style worship will be our first step back, and that will then be followed in subsequent weeks with step two, where we're going to add in-person life groups and child care. So we want to phase those in, step those things in, and it's on June the 28th that we'll actually be unveiling our plans for the weeks and months ahead. So just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. Encourage you, if you haven't already today, to jump online at our website at arapahoeroad.org. Click that little give button. You can give to the Lord through the church in that secure giving portal. And thank you for your faithfulness to continue giving. If you've never given before, I encourage you, step into those waters. It is freeing. It is joyous. It's a little scary sometimes, but it's when you step out and trust the Lord as your provider in those tangible ways that your faith begins to grow and your dependence on God begins to grow. And if you'll test God in that and be generous and faithful and obedient in your giving, just watch what God will begin to do in and through you. So thank you for those who've been so faithful. Thank you for those who will step in today and step into those waters. You can always mail in through the mail your gifts, your tithes, your offerings. We're checking our mailboxes daily, so know that that's an option as well. As we wrap our time up, I want to give you a blessing. So if you'd hold your hands out like you're going to receive something, I just want to pray a blessing over you, give a blessing to you. Your God is with you. He loves you. He's not afraid of your hard questions. He knows where you are. He knows what you're feeling, and he loves you anyway. There's nothing that you can do to scare El Elyon away. He's too big and too powerful and yet oh so tender. He loves you deeply right where you are. Run to him. Call out to him. Walk with him. He'll walk you through the waters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're Arapahoe Road. We're in community and on mission. And that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.